it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Arsenal have defeated Spurs in a massive North London derby in the title race and the race for top four. Craig was tweeting out yesterday, I'm losing my head. Not only conceded four against Newcastle, now conceded three against Arsenal. Where's your head at now, bro?
It's all over the place because, like, we're in a race for the Champions League, and any other year since I've been alive that we've been in a race for the Champions League, that's all I've been focused on. But this is the weirdest feeling I have. I'm so conflicted because I'm not actually that interested in getting the Champions League. I'm not focused on that. All I'm thinking about is these guys and them not winning the league. I'm real. I'll be real. There's some Spurs fans that are going to lie and act like they don't care about that and they're only focused on Spurs goals. But the reality is, I would rather not get Champions League if it means they don't win the league. So that means when we play Man City, I'm cool with, instead of 50-50s for balls, 70-30 to Man City, put in a lackluster challenge. If they run past you, just jog back. Don't bust the gut.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? I'm
you're
keeping it
to hurt yourself to hurt your enemy.
Craig, 100% because Craig, we're talking about Arsenal, our biggest rivals, who haven't won the league in 20 years, winning the biggest prize in England. Us not getting Champions League, I've been there for years. We haven't had Champions League for so many years. I'm used to that. That's fine. But for Arsenal to win the league, nah, I'm more focused on them not winning the league than us
question
getting
about
Champions
the game, though. When you're 3-0 down at half time,
yes,
what the fuck is going through your head about that performance, the goals? What are you feeling?
Which exit were you going to use to get out of the stadium?
Well, first of all, I wasn't at the stadium. I never go to North London derbies for that precise reason, because my head will be gone if we lose and I have to just walk down the high road in human traffic, can't get anywhere. It just pisses me off. I'd rather sulk in like my living room on my sofa. But it's another thing that was weird that game, because I'm looking at it like, we didn't play that bad, but we found ourselves 3-0 down. So I was like, my head was all over the place because we started the game very well. We was controlling possession. We was kind of pinning them back, not allowing them to play their game. And then Højbjerg puts in the weirdest header in the back of his own net. Like, he's in front of the near post and still somehow it squeezes in. And from there, you're just like, and that was the third game in a row that we've played Arsenal in a North London derby and scored an own goal. Mm. We did it at the Emirates earlier this season. We did it last season when Lloris threw it in the back of his own net at our stadium. So I'm just like, why do we keep approaching games against Arsenal like this and playing pretty well and then kind of just shooting ourselves in the foot? It was just a weird feeling, but obviously I was absolutely fuming.
The corners, though, two of them came from the corners. One of them was a counter attack where it was like Saka versus two men. It wasn't great defending.
Oh no, it was horrible. That counter attack was like the way he left Ben Davis. It's like, everyone knows, show Saka on his right foot.
Yeah,
why are you allowing him so easy to cut on in his left foot and tuck it away? Great finish, great piece of skill, but Ben Davis, you just kind of did what everyone said before the game. You're not going to be able to handle Saka. And it was there. Terrible defending. And what annoyed me about that move as well was Maddison goes down, Kulusevski goes down, both not penalties, by the way. And I hate they weren't penalties. And I hate it when players are just protesting. It's like, get the fuck up and get back and defend. And it's like, we do that too much. I've seen that under us this season. And that's when I start to question the manager, the kind of, what mentality are you instilling in there? Like, play to the whistle. Why are you down complaining? The ref hasn't given it. Get back up, run back. Everyone get back into position. Arsenal throughout the game, you could see that. Every time they lost the ball, everyone's busting a gut back to get organised and set up that block and make sure you're not getting through there. And that's the difference in mentality.
Ange said something after the game. He was talking about Romero and they said, what do you think of Romero's performance? And he said, he goes, I need to get the rest of the players to start having the same mentality as Romero. Mm. And I think you hit on something. I mean,
Is that a dangerous thing to say, lads? I'm just bringing this up because
of his...
back in the day, in a title race, ironically, Kevin Keegan for Newcastle said to our goalkeeper, Pavel Cernicek, why can't you be more like Peter Schmeichel he was talking about, actually. But like, is it dangerous to tell the rest of the squad, you are mentally inferior to this one player?
No, but do you know what? I get what you're saying, but the reality is, out of all of our players in that squad, there's only one World Cup winner. And people can question how much he was involved in that. Obviously, they got Messi and GOAT players. But the reality is, he played, I think, almost every game in the World Cup. Mm. He played in the final and he's won a World Cup. So he's the only one that's really been there at the highest, highest level. On top of that, he made some good blocks yesterday, Romero. He scored a goal, obviously, thanks to a gift from Rea. But
he could have had two more.
He missed two good headers as well. Like, he was involved in kind of everything that was good about Spurs yesterday. So I'm not mad at Ange actually saying that.
And as well, a lot of them are technically better than Romero. So to be able to say, right, you need to get here where he is, it's not like you're turning around to him and going, yeah, you just need to be as good a footballer as him. None. You're saying you need to elevate yourself to that sort of level, which can be done. I don't think it's a bad... Mm.
But he was at fault for the third goal, by the way, Romero. Because he's like, he's got Havertz there, the ball gets whipped in, and then Havertz just like goes around him and it's like a free header.
That blew my mind though, like, because the big talking point, I've got to be honest, I was nervous going into this game. I was really nervous going into this game, always nervous North London derbies, like you know, it's like a cup final, it's not enjoyable. And the big thing everyone was talking about, they'd had 15 days prep, right? We were knackered. We looked shattered, right? But they'd had 15 days off. And I'm sat there watching yesterday, I'm like, what the fuck was Ange doing in those 15 days? If you're prepping for Arsenal, if you're prepping for Arsenal, what do you do? How do you stop Arsenal? You don't concede from set pieces, because we're the best in the league at that. You do not let Saka get one-on-one with a fullback. That's what everyone's done all season. Put three on Saka if you can. And if you're going to try and like score a late goal against us, you don't do it by spamming crosses, because we've got the best keeper in the league at catching crosses. Mm. We've got two centre-halves that are 6'3", and who's going to score a header against them? Mm. I looked at it yesterday and I thought it was fine margins game. And it, like, I'm not
just Kimmich.
I don't want to talk about Kimmich. I guess, like, yesterday, I'm not going to sit here and pretend we thrashed them, because we didn't. That was an even game. But like, North London derbies are never like that. It's always even. I feel like there was basically two matchups yesterday. It was coach versus coach, and I think Arteta got the tactics right better than Ange did.
Yep.
And I think basically you look at our two best forwards in Saka and Son. Saka goes through, gets his goal. Son had a big chance, just didn't take it. And that's the difference.
We've been talking recently about the potential of Big Ange, because I think we all see there's potential in him, but in back-to-back games he's been exposed as tactically naive. I mean, Eddie Howe did a worse job on him than Arteta even. Obviously it's different at St James's, but there's been people saying, has Ange been found out a little bit? Not saying that he's totally shit or anything, I don't think that for a second, but starting lineup, tactics, the fact that apparently if the season had started after the first 10 games, Spurs would now be mid-table rather than challenging for the Champions League. So is there a drop-off coming? Are we seeing like the starting lineup, like, didn't start Richarlison? Would Richarlison have been a good player, a cat amongst the pigeons, to really bully some of those Arsenal defenders?
This is what I want to talk about. As this half of the year has gone on, I've started to move more into the Ange skeptic rather than Ange, you know, positive side of things. I'm not going to lie, just because I'm seeing patterns. Look, one-off games, when I speak to my dad about it, he likes to focus on one-off games, what happened in those games. And I'm like, that's fine, but you have to look at the bigger picture. Mm. Things are starting to become habitual now. Like, we're not scoring that many goals in games. We're finding it hard to really, like, put the ball away. And at the other end, we're leaking goals. Like you just said, we had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, to sort things out. We let in 4 against Newcastle. A couple of weeks prior, we let in 3 at Fulham. Like, for me, I just don't see where Ange is on the training ground addressing things that are consistently happening. You need to start addressing these things. I'm all for playing good football. We put together a lot of passes. We have a lot of possession. We are entertaining. It's not rubbish football like how Conte and Jose Mourinho was. But there's just this high level of naivety I see in Ange's game at the moment.
It's also stubbornness, right? I think he's aware of some of the problems, but it's like, it's my way, mate, and that's the only way.
The Premier League. You can't move like that.
Do you know who it reminds me of? It actually reminds me of like late Wenger. Like, genuinely, watching him yesterday, I was like, this is like a kind of like 2012 Wenger team.
Kind of Kevin Keegan-esque.
Like, you've got one way of playing, you're vulnerable at the back, you're vulnerable to set pieces, and also, if you don't finish your chances, you leave the back door open. I'm watching Ange, and I'm still really impressed by him, but I think they've got so much work to do in the summer. And fair enough, right? It's his first year with this team, playing very different football. There's a lot of Mourinho players in there, there's a lot of Conte players still in there. But, mate, What? Like, tell me your shopping list because it's long. Like, you need fullbacks.
We need centre mid.
You need centre mid.
Because
you
need it. No. Wait, Udogie's good though.
No, Udogie's good, but I'm the centre mid. Everyone knows is such an integral part of the team if you're trying to be a top team up there in like the top three, right? And unfortunately, Bissouma and Sarr have not been good this half of the season, and that's why he took them out and made a big call and put Højbjerg and Bentancur in. That didn't work. Højbjerg's put it in the back of his own net, and then the second half he's reverted back to type and then put Bissouma and Sarr back in. If you're basically May and you're still shuffling your CMs and not figuring out like
it tells you none of them are good enough. It tells you he doesn't like any of them.
Yeah, basically, and none of them's hit form, and it's like this is the issue now. Now I'm looking at the summer like, well, we're gonna need CMs because I'm looking at Arsenal's team. Partey's been out, but he's come back in and played well. Declan Rice is Declan Rice. Odegaard's there. If they want, they can put Jorginho in. They don't have a centre mid problem. I was looking at our centre mid like, this is an issue. Then on top of that, his selections were poor. He started Timo Werner. Look, Timo Werner looks, this is the frustration you guys had with him, and you said it before.
Yeah.
He looks like he's doing things. He's always busy, always taking people on. Absolutely no end product. He started him. I would have started Brennan Johnson after how he's played for the last four or five games.
I was surprised you didn't.
He puts Brennan Johnson on and then he looks busy in the second half. Some of the crosses were shit.
I think he should have went with Richarlison though.
Richarlison, he should have started and put Son
Richarlison, that's a game for him. Richarlison, that was a game for him because he understood the derby. He understood what was going on. There was one team that were locked in. I think Arsenal have learnt their mistakes from last season in terms of, well, the bottle really, because every single time they scored, they had a team meeting. On the pitch, everyone in the circle.
Yeah.
Guys,
you must have loved that.
We've done that all season. I think we looked focused yesterday. I don't think that was our best performance of the season by a million miles, by the way.
Old Arsenal lose that game.
Oh, mate, when you look at last season, the game they were away at West Ham, you were 2-0 up, right? I think it was Thomas Partey gives away the ball, forces Gabriel to make a challenge that he probably doesn't want to make, gives away the penalty.
Yep.
From that point, that was the start of the downfall.
We did it at Liverpool as well.
Exactly.
Throwaway leads. I know what you can say. Like last year, if this had happened to us last year, that's a draw or a loss.
It nearly did become that way though. So let's talk about like what nearly did unfold, because when Rea hands the ball and gives away, like that was really, really poor.
And do you know what with Rea? I've got to be honest with you. Start of the season, I didn't get the Rea thing, right? And I was on here saying I don't get it and I rate Ramsdale, blah, 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 blah. Over the course of the season, I see all the positives of David Rea. The one thing I think you see with Rea sometimes, he's not played in a game like that before. He's not played in a derby like that. Brentford don't have games like that. Do you know what I mean? And we saw exactly the same thing a couple of weeks ago, Bayern Munich. It's his mistake. The goal that they score is his mistake. It's him not being where he should be for Gabriel to make a back pass. That's where we cock up. And it's like just brain farts. It's like, and to be fair to Rea, the one thing he did do after making that mistake yesterday, he recovered. Mm-hmm. He caught every cross that came into that box after that.
They were shit crosses, but
they were shit crosses, but you got to catch them. And, I've watched Ramsdale punch, slap, flap at crosses like that, and we can see goals. And to be fair, I will say, I've seen Rea do that. First half of this season, we did it against Spurs at home, did it against Newcastle, the goal that shouldn't have been a goal. He's like flapping and stuff. So he's developed over a season. Mm. And the one thing you've got to say is that he made his mistake yesterday, but he did recover.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Time to talk about one of my favourite brands in the world, and that's Manscaped. Why, you ask? Well, you don't know the struggles that we used to go through back in the day. You don't know what it was like trimming your balls when all we had was a razor and a prey. The nicks, the cuts. It looked like a Saw movie when you were done. Now, with Manscaped, it's smooth. If it was any smoother, it'd be like avocados. And again, risk-free. There is no blood, there is no scary bits anymore. This is unbelievable. Without Manscaped, none of that would be possible. Thank you, Manscaped. For not just one, but three ball trimmers. These guys really know what they're doing. The Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, 4.0 Pro, and 5.0 Ultra. Each trimmer is equipped with skin-safe technology, an LED spotlight, and unique features for different grooming needs. And they're waterproof, by the way, so you can do this anywhere. And if you're taking it on the go, these trimmers come with a travel case and even a travel lock to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. So upgrade your ball trimmer and upgrade your life with Manscaped. I'm telling you, it works. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use our code THEKICKOFF at manscaped.com/THEKICKOFF. Don't forget, it's The Kickoff, block capitals, all one word, 20% off, free shipping, get it now.
You're looking at this Arsenal side and it sucks to say it, but they're really good, man. Just you look at Odegaard right now, and he's getting to a point where how do you not call this guy? I feel like he's world class. Like, I'm watching this guy do things that I'm not seeing other number 10s do. And even that moment, that the Kai Havertz one that's offside, where he reverse passes it.
Beautiful goal.
Oh my goodness.
Pass,
what is he doing? Every time I watch him play, he looks after the ball and he looks like the difference. You're looking at the Arsenal team and you're like, well, where's the problem? All that's missing right now, probably two players away. You think of a striker and maybe someone to play as a left back.
Mate, I don't know. I think
do you need a striker?
I think we've got have that question about a striker, because Kai yesterday, and
King Kai,
you know, you guys know I've never questioned Kai, right?
And me neither.
But mate, yesterday, he's on the same non-penalty goals as Cole Palmer right now.
Wow.
Like, if he was taking penalties, he'd be chasing.
Is he on the same goals as Cole Palmer?
No, non-penalties. No.
Right, no.
Just because, Joey, obviously, you sat down today and there was a little bit before we went on, you went, yeah, I'm starting to see, you know, a bit of quality from him. So where are you on it?
I mean, look, it's only took me 3 seasons to start the season. So not
and
too bad.
Let's not forget the 2 goals that he scored against you. We weren't here because
they were good goals, yeah. But we were leaking goals that day. So I won't. But listen, I think Kai Havertz, 18 goal involvements in 34 games now. He's coming up as an important player in this running for them. Like, I'm not saying he's been the difference maker in games, but my God, he's been playing pretty well. He's been getting his chances. One thing I would say is I think if Arsenal were to push on again, they're still going to need pacing behind. Like, he hasn't really got that. See, yesterday, was it Van de Ven caught up to him at one point?
He's fast. Van de Ven, like, that guy's quick.
He is fast. He had a good few yards.
When you go 1v1 with your striker, you automatically think you're the striker, you should be able to maintain pace with the defender behind you. So I think it's a valid point that you need options.
I mean, right? We even saw Antony for Man United, as underwhelming as he's been this season. He had maybe a similar sort of chance when he gets away for his goal, he gets away from his last man. Van de Ven's quick. I'm saying they would probably ideally want a bit more pace in that front line to push on, but the job that Kai Havertz has done so far is massively surprising.
If only Kai had got away from a defender and run behind a back line to score a goal in the last 4 or 5 days. Oh, wait, against Kukurelli, my God.
question for the table.
He's done the same in a Champions League final.
Yeah, he does
question for the table, because we said earlier on, and not too long ago, when Arsenal had dropped points against Villa, you said, all right, we might not win the league, but show me you're not bottle jobs anymore by keeping the fire underneath Man City, because now we've given them, you know, the chance to win the league. It's 5 wins and 1 loss in April. So you're showing potentially that you aren't bottle jobs anymore. 100%. Or am I wrong?
No.
Are you now performing because the pressure's off? Tell.
Oh, mate, the pressure's on. There's no pressure off. The pressure's on. We're still top of the league. Mm-hmm. We're still on top of the table. I know they've got a game in hand, but like, the pressure's on this team massively. The pressure's also on this team because they know what the media will say. They know that if we fuck this up, like, the bottle tag is coming. Do you know what I mean? Like, the pressure's on this team.
I don't think you can call these lot a bottle job anymore.
We're not.
I think you've done something different. I think finally, like, even your away record, it's just win-win. I was looking at the away record, I was thinking, bloody hell, like, this is a team that is arrived, innit?
If we win our last 3 games, you look at our 2024 record, we'll have drawn 1 game against Manchester City away, which, let's be honest, that's the hardest fixture in football.
Yep.
And we'll have lost at home to Aston Villa, 4th best team in the league, off the back of a Champions League game. Like, I'm not going to sit here and like criticise this team and call them bottle jobs when they've dropped 4 points in this calendar year. Like, you can't do that.
It's just City. You're going to get, if Pep Guardiola leaves City at the end of this season, Arsenal win the league next season.
You're the new Liverpool. With Klopp leaving, Arsenal are assuming that position of, if City have an off season, we're there to snap up the title.
Yeah.
Just for context, I mean, it's a hard position to be in.
Welcome to life in the Man City era, bro. And this is why we have to enjoy games like yesterday. This is why you have to enjoy beating Chelsea 5-0. This is why you have to enjoy the moments in a season. Because the problem is, you're going to get to the... There's a good chance you get to the end of the season and you don't get a trophy. You don't make history. You don't get to fucking do a trophy parade down Holloway Road. You don't get that because you're up against City. So what do you do instead? You just celebrate the moments.
And I think we're going to be pricks and beat you lot, you know? I think we're going to be absolute pricks and just win that game.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to go against something I've been saying all season. It's the first time I've actually felt it.
Uh-oh.
Because all season I'm saying it's City's title, but I actually think it's Arsenal's year.
Really?
So
where is City slipping up then?
I just
the same place they always do.
Do you know what I think it is? I don't know if it's, but I don't know where it is. It could even be Wolves next week at home. I'm just saying that when I look at the two teams right now, I just think Arsenal are more defensively solid than City. Like, even yesterday against Nottingham Forest, Chris Wood had a few chances.
Chris MDF, mate. There's no Wood in him, bro. MDF. Chris MDF, horrible performance. I'm chances. So disappointed.
They're defensively, like, even how that was one point. Did you see how Kyle Walker got skinned at one point? Yeah. Like, and then they put a ball in and Chris Wood
I'm so glad, right? Because as someone who had to watch him, I remember thinking, if people only realise that this is the most useless fucker in football. Yeah. Like, he was so painful, but now you all understand.
Mm. But he scored a hat-trick against you. Did he score a hat-trick against
you? The one time, and this is the thing with idiots like him, like, it's like poetic, isn't it? It's like, now I'm going to show you what I can do on the training ground. Now I'm going, you know what I mean? But
I was going to feel about Kai Havertz this seat.
I feel like it's Arsenal's year.
On the Arsenal thing, to talk about the bottle job tag and whatever. So they did get 84 points last season. They're now on 80 points this season with a few games to go. So just to be clear, 97, 98, 99, 2001, 2011 and 2016, all both of those points tallies, even what you're at now before the season's ended, would have won you the league. So Arsenal are showing they're a title winning side. Mm. They just have a bloody monster in their way.
Yeah, essentially what we're doing is like, Imagine if you were taking penalties and you kept hitting top corner, you kept getting it within an inch of the crossbar, but the keeper was saving it. You wouldn't say you're bottling it. You'd say, look, if you keep doing that, he won't save it at some point.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what we're doing. We're
hoping for an off season.
If we're hitting 90 point pace, and in terms of like pace, since New Year's Day, we've been on pace for 105 points. Like we're doing ridiculous. If we'd played like this all season, and that's where the regrets are going to come. By the way, I'm going to look back at before Christmas, like, you know, dropping points at home to Fulham, losing points away from home, losing at West Ham,
Newcastle,
Big Joe Linton's push.
Yeah, it's that.
Well, over the line,
is Villa away, mate? There's a few, but look, I can't get mad at this group of players because I think we've improved, by the way. And that's one thing that I'm watching City. I feel like City are limping to this title. I feel like the way they played against Forest yesterday, they look tired. There's players in there that are giving performances we don't recognise. Unfortunately, Haaland comes off the bench and scores a fucking beautiful goal. But in terms of us, I feel like we're getting better.
Well, they destroyed Brighton, though.
They destroyed Brighton, but
Brighton are going down like the Titanic.
Deserby spending most of his life on Indeed.com looking at jobs, man. He's not worrying about what's coming up. I think you said it, KG. We miss one more forward. We miss one more forward. But I think the interesting thing about what Kai Havertz has done. You know, I was talking about Isak a few weeks ago and I'm looking now and I'm like, is it actually a winger that we need? Because I look across our front line, Havertz has got decent numbers, as you say. Saka's just got his 15th Premier League goal of the season. Decent. On the other half of the pitch, Martinelli's got 6 goals and he didn't get on the pitch until 70 minutes yesterday. Trossard, this is just pure Trossard, right? He's our best finisher of the club. You start him at left wing, you can't find him with a fucking torch, mate. He disappears, right? Gabriel Jesus has had a nothing season. I mean, I think the biggest credit you can say to Arteta and to this squad is that we've had a season where, like, Gabby Jesus, who was our superstar striker signing last summer, has given us nothing this season. And guess what? We haven't really felt it.
Question for the table before we wrap this topic up. How long has Mikel Arteta got left on his deal again?
Well, he's actually got one more year.
Okay.
Next year is, and that will be the fifth year in what he's always referred to as a 5-year project. Okay. I'm confident he signs again, but yeah, it's one more.
Let's say he doesn't. Between now and then, so you've got this end of the season and next season, does he manage to get his hands on a Premier League title or a Champions League potentially? Does he win one of the big ones?
I have to say yes. I have to say yes. I think Champions League this season, we looked young. We looked naive. And it was mad watching us go from Premier League games to those games where we were making silly mistakes. Passes were like a yard behind people and we just weren't on it. And I'm hoping in the same way that we've matured in the Premier League between last season and this, we're going to mature in the Champions League next season as well. But I have to believe that if we keep playing this football, like mate, I've got fucking Man United fans saying we look like the best team in the country.
I hate it.
It's freaking me out as well, KG. I'm not used to this.
I hate it. Like, I bloody hate
it. I've got a Spurs fan sitting next to me saying it looks like our year. Like,
you'll probably spend 200 million this summer as well.
I think we'll spend money. I think we're looking at Bruno Guimarães.
Really? Like,
yeah, that's
clause triggered.
Yeah, that mate, that looks like and
ooh, I left in that midfield.
In that midfield next to Declan Rice, Odegaard. Mate, that is must.
You know what? Bruno Guimarães with Rice and Odegaard, that will be the best midfield in world football, in my opinion.
Jesus.
Like, that is
the right amount of bastard in there.
No, I agree, is the perfect of strength, bastard, technique.
Passing. It's got everything. So look, you're right, we're gonna spend again. I think we will get another forward as well. I don't think it'll be like an Isak level player, but I think we'll get someone who can sit Saka down,
yeah,
because his hamstrings are looking more worn out than my oldest pair of Calvin. So like, I do think we're going to come again next year. And bear in mind, we're also going to have Yuri and Timber coming in and playing left back. So that hole is going to be
gone.
Don't
forget though, you guys are, everyone's forgetting that City are going to stockpile. City know that it's 115 charges and they're going to go for it. In this, yeah, this window will be a window probably similar to the Chelsea one, yeah, where they just say, bring everything in now. We'll probably end up with a ban. They're probably not going to get relegated, mm-hmm, but they'll probably get a transfer ban for two windows.
They might get Bruno as well. Bruno.
I mean,
Rodri, Bruno and Foden is a mad. That's midfield as well.
Do you know the only thing now with City is like...
Bloody Bruno, man. I just want Bruno back.
I know, but the fans are trying to fucking speak Portuguese to him to get him to stay. Like, they're doing all.
Like pure shit.
I know, I hear what you're saying about City improving, and they definitely will. And I think this might be the season they try and replace De Bruyne. I think this might, I've heard a lot of their fans saying, look, he's not really the guy anymore. When Foden has to move out of the way for him, so I think they're going to spend, but like, Who are they going to get that scares us? I've seen a lot of links with Lucas Paquetá, who's an amazing player, by the way.
Hot and cold, though, isn't he?
Mm. Does he make them terrifying? City? Do you know what I mean?
Under Pep.
Pep's out. It's like steroids.
This is the thing. Is Pep?
You know what I mean? Quite literally.
Yeah. Well. You say that, mate. I don't know. Like, I've got to believe we're going to come again next season. Okay. And sure, why not? I think we'll get a trophy. I think we have to as well. I've said it before, but like, we got contracts that are going to be running out again next season. We're going to have Saliba, Saka, 2 years left. We need to put some medals around the neck.
Craig hit a new low today, though. We must say that. We must acknowledge that as a table for him to say that he doesn't care about his own success and he just
quite admire. Can I ask?
Question,
if Spurs are to beat Manchester City, since the phrase has been turned, would that be the most Spursy thing
100%.
Ever?
Actually, there's still one. There's still one above that, and that was when we were going against Leicester for the title, and we went to Newcastle last day of the season. All we needed was a point to finish second, and we ended up losing 5-1 to a 10-man relegated Newcastle.
We were already relegated.
That was the lowest. That was my lowest point. And then they picked us, even though they weren't even really in the title race.
To second. Glasses away, like we're on the way.
That was my lowest point
as third in a two-horse title.
Yes,
race.
In a two-horse race to a 10-man relegated Newcastle. That was my lowest point as a Spurs fan. It probably
I knew
ever
I
will
back
be.
Up. It's like fucking.